This is the Perfectly Mentored Podcast with your host, Jason Portnoy.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Perfectly Mentored. I'm your host, Jason Portnoy. My guest today, Kurt Malley, is one of the world's most sought after Facebook ad experts. Social media marketing and paid traffic strategies that dramatically increase short-term and long-term revenue. His exclusive Austin-based digital marketing agency, Black Box Social Media, has a client list that reads like a VIP red carpet list made up of celebrities, reality TV stars, Shark Tank contestants, professional sports team speakers, New York Times best-selling authors, and a lot of small businesses and medium-sized businesses. He's a colleague, a peer, and more importantly, a good friend of mine, someone I truly have a great deal amount of respect for, especially in this industry. My man, Kurt, welcome.
Thank you, sir. Really appreciate being back here again. This is great. I love what you've been doing, who you've been interviewing. So
I'm going to give you a lot of credit throughout this whole thing. I mean, like, this podcast started catching really fire once we started implementing a lot of the things you and I have had a lot of discussions about and a lot of talks about. So I appreciate the kind words, but it's more of a testament to you and a testimony to you and all of our conversations. So thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, never forget. And I love these stories, by the way. In my personal opinion, like, I love making money. Like, that's great. But one of the world's most satisfying things for me is when someone walks up or they say, by the way, we were sitting down, we had this, you gave me this idea, I implemented it, and it made a big difference in my life. And I'll never forget, this picture right here behind me is a picture of Fiji. We were both in Fiji together, and I brought, you know, my world famous belt I'll talk about later. But where the belt is sitting at right here is actually around in the kind of this seating area out by this kind of water you see here. And you and I were sitting on the opposite side. So it's like we were sitting actually about right here if we were actually in real life in Fiji. And I remember turning to my left. You were sitting to my left. And I'm like, hey, what are you doing with your podcast? I'm like, I don't know. You know, I had a couple of interviews. And I'm like, man, you got some really brilliant people. If you just did it consistently, like, man, you just rock it. And you're like, yeah, I know. And then the next time I talked to you, it was, hey, what are you doing with your podcast? And we kind of talked through it a little bit. And then I've been checking Facebook recently, and oh my goodness, your news feed is filled with all these great people. There are amazing things going. And man, I'm just excited to catch up, and looks like you're rocking and rolling. I'm really excited for you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it's been a long journey for me, and I'm just grateful for the people that pushed me along the ways, people like you. So thank you again for that. And absolutely, I wanted to publicly thank you. So here's me publicly thanking that. You. I want to jump in. There's a word that we talked about in the past, but something I borrow from you all the time when I talk about my content is propaganda. If you look up the dictionary, it's the ideas, facts, allegations, or allegations spread deliberately to further one's cause or to damage an opposing cause. Now, often when we hear the word propaganda, it has a hugely negative connotation. People think of it as manipulation. People think of it about all that. How do you view propaganda?
So, I mean, really, as I'm using it completely out of context, most people are like, oof, you teach propaganda? And I go, I teach ethical propaganda. Now, here's the thing. I'm going to give you just a couple of examples of propaganda that, like, we have all grown up to kind of believe that, I don't know why, but it's part of our belief system. So whether we want to bring it all the way on down to, like, hate and race wars and stuff like that, people have a belief that started somewhere. And that's where they become angry and frustrated. And one of the things I like to show people, for example, I go all politics aside, is I'll speak on stage and I'll have a big picture behind me. And I say, okay, all politics aside, I'm going to show you a picture. And, well, I'm just going to wait a minute. We'll just kind of talk about it afterwards. So it's a picture of Trump, again, all politics aside, with a crown on top of his head. And it says King Trump. And what I do is I step off over to the side of the stage and I just let that picture show. And there are gasps and there are screams. And some people will say stuff and other people will nudge and some people will groan. And all I say is, just imagine if your brand, product, and service caused an emotional reaction with your audience. Now, I'm not going to take any sides in politics, like I said, but I just showed an image and you emotionally responded, got engaged, started whatever that story was in your head that started off. I didn't have to say anything. I just showed you an image. Imagine if your brand was able to do that for people. I like to teach this ethically, and I have taught this to a U.S. presidential candidate in a very good way. But what I like to do is I like to ethically really talk about people's belief system. I like to align with their belief system. And that's our whole strategy with the belt, which essentially is we're going to build the belief just to get to know you, just like we would in a real relationship like we are right here. We're going to have some engagement, next part of the belt. And then we're going to see, okay, you're ready to become a lead and then transact. But ethical propaganda is just no more than just aligning our beliefs to make sure we're on the same page, instead of me writing some copy, hook, headline that's like, buy my shiny stuff right now. So it's all about building a relationship.
I mean, in politics aside, say what you want, Trump does know how to generate an emotional response from everyone. Always keep himself top of mind and talked about and out there, that almost no other candidate can compete, like, because they'll just fall to the bottom of the news cycle because Trump will do something else. How much of that do you think Brad Parscale, who ran his campaign, a Facebook genius, how much of that or that propaganda or that type of idea goes into his marketing?
Oh, huge. So it's interesting. Before Trump got elected, we're just studying the science of this. Before Trump got elected, I was at a mastermind where I met an individual who's written a lot of books on persuasion because he was raised in a cult, literally as a small kid raised in a cult. And at 17, he got out of the cult and really studied, why do people believe things so strongly that, like, he's now helped the government of Poland rewrite laws for sex education, for example. Well, it all comes down to belief. So if you watch The Great Hack on Netflix, what I would like to tell people, if you're advertising, even if you're not advertising, it's required watching. And what happens is when you watch The Great Hack, what essentially it explains to you that I think it's like 83 or 87,000 people who have not decided which way to vote can be swayed to sway an entire presidential election. So these are actually numbers, math, and facts in advertising. Where it used to be like, and again, all politics aside, Hillary Clinton said, this is a grassroots effort. We need to go out there and get the vote. Well, what Trump and his team did and his marketing team did was said, okay, how do we get in very specific micro niches? We know this is advertisers. How do I message those people at the right time, at the right place? Now, Hillary Clinton's running these ads where thousands of people can comment, a lot of trolls on that stuff. What Trump would do is he would target very specifically in very local areas, in very local subjects, with very specific ads that would get two or three comments. So by the way that he did it, he established a belief system that people like this. They're talking about exactly what I want to hear. And here's the biggest thing. This is the big thing about the whole political gain, and we can go over and over this, how he won and all this other stuff. But one of the things is that I researched later for the politics is people vote. Buy the same thing too. People vote based off their emotion at the time that they go to the polling place versus the math and facts. So we can talk about someone's side, someone's issues, or someone's issues. But when Hillary said, those are deplorables, there were thousands, millions of people who literally said, again, it's just a label. I am not a deplorable. I don't know what that means. But when I go to the polls, I'm going to show you. So these micro niches, micro targetings to feel safe and secure. And then Trump got the one play card. And I'm not saying it won the election, but now all of a sudden he has an established villain that called all of his people deplorables. And we have an election that's been won. And it'll probably be won again because of the anger that he produces.
And look, I attended an event. I heard Brad Parscale, his now campaign manager. At the time, it was his social media manager, pretty much, or Facebook advertiser. I heard him speak, and another thing he said was Hillary and all these candidates would do live town halls, and they'd get in front of 20,000 people max. Trump would take his 20,000 person max and go Facebook Live and reach millions of people. Something you talk a lot about is the power of Facebook Live. Can you tell us how you use Facebook Live and how the listeners could use Facebook Live, even if they're not running for a presidential election?
Actually, I'll even give you an example on that. One of the presidential candidates that we worked with for a small amount of time, we said, hey, look, one of the things that Trump does, like you mentioned, is he does a Facebook Live that he streams to millions. But when he sets the camera up, it's kind of like, hey, I'm watching, but it's from afar. You know, online marketers, what they've used for many years in propaganda, where they will film videos where literally it's like, hey, come for a walk with me. Hey, come from a car ride with me. What happens is that's a one-on-one personal relationship. Now, what a lot of people do is they use Facebook Lives to feel, okay, I got to wait till all these people get on and we're going to do this live. And what I want you to think, when I say Facebook Live, I want you to think 99% of people are going to see the replay. So what's going to happen is we're going to set up the live to be interactive. But the next thing is we're going to make sure that this thing can run for a good long while, just like you're running your podcast interviews as well too. Like, it shouldn't be set up as a webinar. A webinar is point A to point Z. Well, when you're running your Facebook Live, what's going to happen is, the longer it is, the more people are going to join you. Somebody joins you 10 minutes into your Facebook Live. If you're going from A to Z, it's not going to make any sense. What I do is I show people and I teach people how to basically set up in segments, almost kind of like an infomercial. So you're giving a little segment of 5 to 7 minutes, 3 to 4 segments. And what we do is we basically, it's just like an infomercial, is, hey, we're going to cover these 4 topics. We're going to cover the topic for 5 to 7 minutes, and we're going to have a frequent call to action, which is, hey, check out my book, book a call, whatever. Now, we've helped 5 people become New York Times bestselling authors through Facebook Lives. We've helped people who are unable to explain their offer, who basically they would help moms whose kids are addicted to drugs, abandoned on the street, moms who feel guilty and alone and ashamed. How do you sell a self-help book with ads that say, do you feel guilty, alone, and ashamed? Is your kid strung out on drugs? You can't really do that.
Yeah.
But with a Facebook Live, people can connect with you live. They can see the replay. And literally what they end up saying is, man, Jason, I don't know how I found you, but I was scrolling through my Facebook and literally, it's almost like I was praying and I came across this video. It meant a lot. And then the next thing was, it's one of the greatest ways to connect with people one-on-one that we have seen in many, many, many years. It's 100% digital.
Look, and I think people get too caught up on how many people are watching. I never really pay attention to that because I know it's going to run as a replay. And then the thing that always I find fascinating is the amount of people that reach out to you afterwards that sit there and say, hey, that was great. I'm like, you were on that? Like, why didn't you say hi? Why don't you do anything? You don't know. Like, people, not many people want to comment or like or do things.
Yes.
You're reaching a lot more people than you think.
And it's the consistency that you and I talked about with the podcast as well, too. What will happen is what's really interesting as you're running these podcasts and people start to see this. You know, we had just talked about one of the things I know that you're looking to do is to take on, I know, just a couple of clients every 5 to 6 weeks, you know, as you're rolling things through. And one of the things that we talked about was, well, send people to an opportunity where they get a chance to, you know, to chat with you one-on-one. What a lot of marketers do is they run these long form ads that say, read all about me, book a call free for 15 minutes. And, you know, where this 15 minute call turns into a coaching sales call. But like what we've talked about here, you're running a bunch of content, you're running some testimonials, and then all of a sudden it's literally, hey, if you would like to learn more and you would like to work with me, let's just set up a quick call. Your cost per call is going to be a lot lower than anybody else's. And what's also great is people show up and they're like, oh, by the way, I've listened to your last 5 podcasts. I've also watched these 3 videos. And you're like, you never joined my email list. You've never commented. Oh yeah, 90% of your people who will book a call with you, and I want you to think about this in the audience, most people are actually watching on Facebook, not necessarily clicking. So if you're only thinking about how many people clicked on my link after my last webinar, after my Facebook Live, you're missing the boat of how many people are building a relationship with you like this, but it hasn't been their right time to click yet. So I mean, I cannot wait until you start opening those things up.
I appreciate that. You know, you talked about consistency. Do you find most people either A, quit too early, right? They quit too early. Oh, man, I posted 3 times. This Facebook ad thing doesn't work for me, or marketing doesn't work for me. Or they'll ride a wave and see results and then take the foot off the gas and then it stops working. Do they usually fall into one of those 2 areas?
There's a couple of different areas, and it all has to do with just head trash, right? I used to sell real estate investing education and show people how to get involved in real estate investing. And I'd always ask people, and I'm like, hey, did you do a deal yet? Yeah, man, I made like 50 grand on my first deal. And I'm like, dude, you are going to go broke because you're going to go in there blazing like you're always going to make money. Somebody who's lost money before, they're going to be more cautious. Now, the thing is one of my favorite sayings in real estate investing, somebody gave me this a long time ago, is no one ever goes broke in real estate. They just die too soon. Meaning if you held on to it for a really, really long time, it's always worth money, but most people give up whatever. So when we're looking at a lot of ad strategies, what people will do, and this is what I completely teach against, is they'll run all these ads with these great headlines and hooks. That's good. But it's buy my shiny stuff, buy my shiny stuff, buy my shiny stuff. But what's worked for thousands of years is telling stories and building a relationship. So now what we were talking about right before this call is building a relationship that could be for $1.50 that someone now watches you for 45 minutes. I'd rather pay $1.50 to have someone listen to us and watch us for $1.45 because it's building an overall relationship. So what I see most people do, man, there's this internet marketing party here in Austin. And there's this one guy always pops in my head when I think about this. We've gone to the same party every month for 9 years. He walks up to me about 3 years ago, man, you're so lucky. And I'm thinking, we both didn't have any money. We both came to the same party. We both know the same people. We both went through many of the same training courses. he just did it every single week because I had his wife complained at him and he just didn't know if he could do it necessarily. And I'm not smarter, faster, quicker, or any better. I'm just consistently doing it over and over and over. And most people have this head trash. And we had talked about this, I believe, in Fiji. Most people have this head trash that mommy didn't hug them, daddy didn't love them, grandpa didn't buy them a pony, whatever the story is. But they're like, I just can't do it because I did a Facebook Live one time and one person said they didn't like me. That's your competition. So the way that I look at it, I ain't that smart. But if most of my competition gives up because they quit, because it's hard, or they don't get it, or they got their feelings hurt, as long as I'm just a little bit more consistent, I'm light years ahead of my competition, and it's always served me very, very well. You're doing the exact same thing here.
So how can businesses, if people listening and they run a business, they understand, okay, I see how this works if you want to build a personal brand. I see how this works if you're a person, you want to do coaching, consulting, or you're a presidential candidate, but I'm a business. How can I use propaganda or the Kurt Malley version of propaganda?
This works in so many different areas. So for example, like let's just say a local chiropractor, right? So a local chiropractor, there's lots of people who have a chiropractic service, but lots of different chiropractors have different types of services that they offer. They're trained in different ways. So for a perfect example, a business partner of mine at one time was in a car accident when it was icy out. So he was looking for a chiropractor, right? So he searches for a chiropractor. He goes to Google Places, finds a chiropractor, watches their first video. And the chiropractor is basically like, hey, welcome to ABC Chiropractic. My name is John. I'm the chiropractor. You're going to meet Lisa when you first come into the office. Come in for a virtual tour. So this video is on YouTube, for example, right? This is where they watched that. I mean, it comes from the Google Places. But you can retarget something like that. So now what ends up happening is my business partner didn't go to the chiropractor that day. And that's where most people stop. Well, what ends up happening is that the chiropractor recorded something what we call a 10 by 10 by 4. So 10 videos, a couple minutes long, whatever. What are the most frequently asked questions about going to a chiropractor? Another 10 videos. What questions should someone be asking if they're going to a chiropractor? Make sure if they take cash or we take this insurance, whatever. And then 10 by 10 by 4, record 4 videos about you. So now what happens, my business partner takes that little tour, doesn't go back to the site, but now starts to see ads of the chiropractor that he was just looking at before. That's basically like, hey, if you have recently been in a car accident, here are the questions that you should be asking. And all of a sudden he's watching, he's not clicking, but he's evaluating the doctor. Well, that made sense. He sees another tour of the office. He sees another frequently asked question. Now, most people are like, well, wait a minute, why am I just not selling 10% off, 10% off, 10% off? Well, here's the numbers game. For a chiropractor, for example, a brand new client may spend $1,500 a year. 90% of a chiropractor's business comes from word of mouth. So if I want to help triple the size of his business, as long as he or she provides good customer service, we're going to run this propaganda where people are always hearing about the chiropractor. Might not be because of the car accident now, maybe a headache down the road, but they see another testimonial that comes through. All of a sudden, they become a customer. They give a recommendation because they feel like they've known the person so incredibly well. We can do this with e-commerce, heating and air conditioning businesses, products that are lower than $30. It's building a relationship with people that many times is cheaper than paying for a click. It's cheaper to build the relationship if you run the facts and math on it.
And let's be honest. I mean, no one really goes on Facebook being like, man, I really need a chiropractor. Let me scroll through my feed and see if I can find a chiropractor. But if you're the chiropractor that's providing value and always top of mind, when you need a chiropractor, who do you think they're going to remember?
Now, what most people do, and you know this, they'll throw a whole bunch of money at this. You and I know the real secret is literally it's like, okay, I'm going to record this piece of video. I'm going to spend a dollar or two, and Facebook will find the exact right person at the exact right time to find the exact right message. So a lot of people are just trying to throw out a whole bunch of stuff at once. We are really strategic, low spend, high return, but low spend and very specific targeting. It's very important.
So let's talk about that. I mean, let's talk. Your strategy is called the belt method, right? Let's explain what exactly is the belt method.
Absolutely. So essentially, actually, you know what? I have a very easy way to explain this, sir. We were kind of just talking about this before. What I like to do is I like to show people where they're literally leaving a ton of money on the table. And one of the ways is with this right here. So essentially, we got a map that you can see right here. So the belt method, and I can give out a link later that basically can get you inside of a free group if you'd like to learn more. We even give a 7-day pass to 60 of the world's top online marketing interviews when the economy changed, called the Stuck at Home Summit. I'll give you links for that later. But essentially what happens is this. If you kind of look at the map, and I know it's kind of hard to see here, but I'm going to be kind of like a weatherman and kind of point here for a second. So we see right here is belief. So it's really just an acronym, really easy. We're going to establish belief overall. Now, one of the ways that we do that is we run videos, long-form posts. Imagine Reader's Digest. What we do is we want to meet someone where they're watching a video or reading an article of ours and being like, that's an interesting idea, product, or solution. I don't require a click. I just require a, that was interesting. That's it. Well, what happens next is what we see here is in the next stage is engage. Now, engage essentially is doing what Jason and I are doing right now with you. We're having a conversation. Now, in the engage level could be people could see additional podcasts of your product. They could see your product reviews. They could see testimonials. Essentially, it's engaging with your audience. So they've seen your brand. Now they're starting to see your brand in lots of different places, but it's not just buy my stuff. It is, hey, let me give you some content, some awareness of why this product or service can really help you. And then what happens is after you establish a relationship, you have some engagement, we make it really easy. I'll get this weatherman thing down right sometime, right here. It's become a lead, right? Hey, Jason, we've had some conversations before. Are you interested maybe, or you've seen a lot of my content. Are you maybe interested in having a conversation? If not, totally cool. We can just stay in the engagement phase. You can watch that. But if you're ready, yeah, I'll go ahead and book a call, or I'll go ahead and purchase the consulting call or whatever you want to do. Great. They just come on in as the lead. You agree on next steps. And that makes the transaction so easy. That's why I already brought it up. It's many times what happens is people try to get leads in a cold market and there's no relationship whatsoever. And all they're focused on is leads. But with email leads, with the open rate, the click-through rate, you're not really building a great relationship with leads. And if you really look at the math and facts, it's really quite expensive. But if you look at the math and facts of just building a relationship with someone, having that engagement, and then keeping these two numbers in mind, if you're lucky, 20% of your audience, 20%, that's a huge number actually, may become a lead if you're super, super, super lucky. It means 80% of your audience. The second number, if you're lucky, 1% to 3% of people will buy. And that's in perspective, depending on your price point. But 1% to 3% of people will buy. What happens with the other 97 or 99% of traffic that you bought? Well, again, you can still do the engagement up over here. We create this digital newspaper. So you can make other offers of products or services or even third-party offers. The reason is because this is true propaganda. We're building a relationship with people. And just because they didn't buy your one thing doesn't mean they're not looking for a solution that you can also provide as well. So we show people how to clean up a lot of money left on the table. And we have a very specific step-by-step process that obviously we show people how to do this that doesn't require much ad spend, just a little bit of content, a little bit of strategy, and this amazing thing called the Facebook algorithm takes care of everything else.
Look, one of the reasons why I like you and I resonate with you is my success from a Facebook advertising standpoint has been mostly not because I know all the manual bid strategies and all the technical side of things, but it's understand marketing. I understand how to take someone who's never heard of you before and turn them into a customer and walk them through that journey. This is exactly what you're doing right here versus what a lot of people try to do is, hey, let me see if I could just game the system a little bit. But that's very short-sighted, right? That's very short-term versus playing the long game.
We've been using this for probably 7+ years, what you see here on the screen right now. And essentially, it's changed a tiny little bit over the years. And essentially, what this is this. It's very easy. Reach and relevance, that's the very top bar. This is the exact process that we run ads. We just want to build a relationship to make sure that, hey, maybe people want to watch this Gary Vee interview. Maybe these people want to watch Damon John interview. You're just building a relationship. And as long as you're posting content, you said the consistency thing, as long as you're consistent, well, what we start to do is we start to build this audience of people who've watched these videos, of people who have gone to your website. These are people who know, like, and trust you. So we literally spend $1 a day, and you'll see this kind of in the blue area right over here. You literally spend $1 a day targeting people who've already been to your website, who already like your page. Now they're seeing you consistently. So this is what's happening right now because I'm seeing it. People are seeing, oh my goodness, Jason's having another guest on. Who's the guest this week? Oh my goodness, he's gotten so-and-so. And that was last week and this week. What happens is now what he's doing is he's moving to this golden level that we see right here. Now Jason's able to identify what posts, what content resonate with his market, and what post resonates with his market so well, it becomes an ad. So now it's become an ad. All the people who don't buy from this ad right here, we're just going to retarget with additional engagement. This is called our splinter offer. So as long as people are posting on a regular basis and engaging on a regular basis, there's an unlimited supply of customers and money, but people who only present just one offer, ton of money sitting on the table.
So you're a big student in psychology. It's clear that's something that's super important to you. How does that play into how you market and how you create creatives?
That is a really great question. I'm trying to learn more and more about that all the time. So the thing is what I really want to take a look at is I want to take a look at building a relationship with people overall. That's my top of funnel. So for me and for my clients, I really want to make sure that my language overall is something that matches for my clients. Now, let's just say that we're talking about booking a call. But again, this can work for any industry, e-com or whatever. I'm always looking at next steps. So, okay, they watched a video. Great, they got to know me a little bit. Okay, they went to my website. How long did they stay on my website? What was the overall next step? And what a lot of times what will happen is people will try to book these calls or get a lot of e-commerce sales. They're like, man, I get a lot of clicks, but nothing's really working yet. So I constantly think about, okay, how can I introduce myself? I got that in my top of funnel. But how do I make sure I'm pre-qualifying the right people? Not only by my targeting, but by my language, by the written word, and by the images. So how do I make sure I'm aligning with that belief system that we are both on the same page? And how do I make sure that this is going to, again, pre-qualify my audience? So like one of the things we talked about is as you're taking on more consulting clients, for example, is your video or your long form post maybe about here are the five or six different traits that makes a successful client relationship. You know, I hit it out of the park with these types of people. You may say the same thing with e-commerce. With e-commerce, it may be as I'm figuring out a creative, I may do a video that says, hey, this e-commerce product, this clicker can be used in 10 different ways. Let me show you how. I'm pre-qualifying people with my language and the written copy. The reason is not just because of what they hear and what they watch, because the Facebook algorithm is actually going to match up people that Facebook believes will want to hear that message or read that post. So for me, it's not as much as the yellows and greens. I'd like to learn more about that. It is more about, am I pre-qualifying people in the right way? Am I communicating in a clear, consistent way that is able to build that belief and that engagement? And am I very clear of what they're going to get when they become a lead or when they're going to become a sale? One last note on that. It's a saying that, I don't know if I've covered this before. It was the first event I've ever attended, live event. Somebody on stage said this. His name was Mark Hoberson. He's unfortunately no longer with us. But he said this, profound. Your marketing will sell your product, and your product will keep people from refunding. So many times, people will take this perfect little product, even if it, I'm making this up, even if it cures cancer. If this cures cancer, but I can't talk you into why to buy it and put it in your mouth, I can't help anybody. So many people will try to make their product perfect. And what they're missing on is, how do I really connect with people to make them feel safe, secure, validated, to pick up this product and put it in their mouth so I can really save their life?
Which is what made Steve Jobs a genius, right? He was able to do exactly that.
We have people lined up outside because they're ready to buy a $1,000 phone. I mean, could you imagine telling your grandparents when they used to rent phones from Ma Bell for $10 a month, hey, I'm going to carry around a computer. Actually, to be truthful, grandma, I'm going to stand outside for 12 hours waiting to spend $1,000 on a phone where my phone bill will also be about $100 to $150 a month. And I'm excited.
People think Steve Jobs was a great businessman. I think he was one of the most brilliant marketers of all time.
Crazy and brilliant.
Speaking of creative a little bit, does your creative change depending on where they are in that journey or funnel for you? Or are you a fan of running the same creative across the board? It doesn't really matter.
All the above. So the thing is what we do is I like running lots of content and Facebook finds the right person at the right time. So let me give you a perfect example. Let's just say that you tag me in this interview as a sponsor, right? And I start running this top of funnel. What's going to happen is I'm going to run this top of funnel and I know that people aren't going to sign up for a link or anything else. They're just going to watch this overall. Well, middle of funnel, I can use the exact same video and just change the copy because not everyone's going to see the top of funnel, middle of funnel, or whatnot. For example, that top of funnel video, I may have a different description, use the exact same video in my middle of funnel because I want it to mean something else. And I may use that exact same video in creative, but say something else bottom of funnel. For example, like you may have seen me on these different types of interviews. One of the most popular interviews is the one that I recently did with Jason. If you're interested in this type of topic, all you have to do is just book a call here. I'm using the same video. And very few people actually, I mean, some people will realize, hey, I'm seeing the same video. Very few people with the way the Facebook algorithm works, the way I run traffic, will see that same creative two or three times. Usually what happens is it's your own experience. You're coming on down. You see, oh, wow, there's a testimonial. Then you read the comments on it and you read the description. And it's meant for you at that place in the funnel. So I do use new creatives, but I just let people know is, look, most people, Ryan Dice would say this, no one reads all of your emails ever. You can send the same email over and over and usually get the same click-through rate, open rate, response. So I use the same creatives, change the copy up a little bit. Now I have literally hundreds of creatives I can use instead of always having to refresh the creatives. And it's comfortable and familiar.
And just to double down on that, I used to be part of a business networking group, and we would meet and we would talk, and I would on purpose, just for fun, give the same pitch. Like everyone would go around and give a pitch. I'd give the same pitch over and over just to prove no one ever listened to me the first time. And in a span of 6 months, not one person ever came to me and been like, hey, you should change it up. You say the same thing every week. But every single week, there was always another person sitting there saying, hey, good job this week. Hey, that was a good pitch this week. And I'm like, thank you. You should see what I have for you next week. It's even better.
There's a buddy of mine from Stanford and MIT. He created webinars that way, where he basically told me he created 6 webinars. This is a great story of his name, Steve. He created 6 webinars, and he's like, Kurt, my close rate on webinar 2, 3, 4, great. I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, oh, it's the exact same webinar, but week one, all I do is I change the headline and the topic, the first bullet point. All the rest of the slides are the same. So people don't buy week one. I just put them in a second webinar. I just name it differently. And the very first opening slides named differently. Everything else is the exact same. So like week one would be, want to learn how to make money on YouTube? Week 2 would be, want to learn how to make money with videos? Week 3 would be, want to learn how to make money with videos on Google? Literally out of thousands of people, no one ever said, hey, Steve, you know what? These presentations are the same. What they said was, Steve, thanks for your support. Thank you so much for your trainings. The third training, I really got it. Thank you so much. And some people just require to hear it over and over. Don't forget that story. Like, use the same ad creatives, change it up a little, but
look at all the big influences in the world, the Gary Vaynerchuk's of the world, the Tony Robbins. If you look at their social media content, the message is the same. Different headline, but you're saying the same thing in a video. Maybe you're using a different analogy, but they stay in their lane. They say the same things over and over and over and over again. And then maybe on the 18th time, it clicks for you.
Well, that's something actually I want to talk about for just a second. That is true propaganda. This is one of the ways that the brain scientist that I had worked with or who is studied in cults, essentially, this is what he was talking about, how Trump was going to get elected before he got elected. Simple, concise messages, something easy to remember. Make America great again. It's very broad, whatever that means to you. I'm not saying make America great for golfers. Well, that's a very small audience. Make America great again. That's an easy, consistent statement.
And something you can stand behind, right? Like, who doesn't want to make it great?
There's an argument to it, right?
And it also implies that it's not great now. It needs to become great again.
Hang on, you're 100% right on track. Who usually votes? People who are great at this nation, who are just being born, who are 18 and 19 years old? Or again, meaning the people who vote are the older demographic who have seen it before,
yep,
and they want to get it back. So it's these simple, consistent messages. So for instance, like what I like to do is I'll say the belt, and I'll say the belt in language over and over, and I'll say things like the golden ad strategy. We went over before the call, the golden ad report. I start using labels and language to describe things, because when people start using my language, i.e. Trump's language, now you become part of a movement and a feeling. So people do not go to the interwebs and look for Facebook trainings by Kurt. They look for the belt by Kurt. No one's going to outrank me for that. And it sets me apart from everyone else. So in true propaganda, think of the words that you can create, the method, the belt method, right? Labels that you can create for things that other people start using those labels. That's where true propaganda starts to come in, because it's an alignment of beliefs and language. It's very powerful.
And what Ryan Dice talks about all the time, you want longevity, you're thinking beyond brand. You're thinking about creating a movement. That's where you gotta think. With the belt method and with the way you market, what metrics become important to you then?
Great question. So essentially what ends up happening, and this is a whole belief system, that when I bring in clients to our agency or when I start coaching, I really start to show people that, hey, look, we have been trained for many years to really pay attention to click-through rate. Make sure you have a high click-through rate, and that's going to show that a lot of people are interested. That's actually old language for new technology. So the old language is a banner ad. I want to make sure my click-through rate is as high as possible. And Facebook's actually monitoring the scroll, the engagement, the look. And if we're looking at click-through rate, we're looking at one number where there are thousands of numbers and equations inside of the algorithm. So what I look at is, years ago, I used to teach real estate education, and I would basically be in one of those hotel rooms, right, where you bring in like 50 or 100 people and you make a speech. So I start to look at math in the way I would build a relationship when I used to give those speeches. So for example, if I start running just a bunch of ads with a great creative, right? Here's a great creative. You can click on it, click on it, click on it. I'm going to get a bunch of clicks. Okay, how am I building a relationship? Well, people, I guess, are reading and they're clicking, and then they go to my website, but they're usually there for just 30 seconds. So either I can really improve my website, but it's just a 30-second conversation. Again, I go back to my real estate days, coaching in or training inside of a hotel room. 30-second conversation with lots of people is pretty worthless. So now what I start to take a look at is, well, what about me building a relationship with someone? So let's say I have these 1-minute videos or 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 12 minutes. How much would I pay for a conversation with someone in that hotel room? Wait a minute. Is 12 minutes watching a video on Facebook a dollar, but a website clicks a dollar? So if I go back to my, again, teaching days, if I'm standing in front of a crowd, do I want to spend a dollar for 12 minutes or a dollar for 30 seconds? Do I want 10,000 people for 30 seconds to go past my message? Or do I want 50 people to watch me for 12 minutes? Oh my goodness. My metrics are, how am I building a relationship with someone top of funnel? Are they watching, consuming, are they reading? So I don't even really care if I'm getting leads or sales top of funnel. As I'm building that relationship, once they become cold and they become that warm market, that middle of funnel, your costs dramatically start to drop because you're engaging with people who already know, like, and trust you. So I might not be getting tons of leads, but I'm consistently looking at, how are people consuming my content? How am I building a relationship? The most important question, am I pre-qualifying people for my product or service that's about ready to come? And then I start looking at clicks, leads, and sales. So the first part is, how am I building a relationship? How are they engaging with me? Engagement does not mean likes and shares. It means, are they actually consuming my content, whether that be reading or video? Then the next part is that engagement. Am I pre-qualifying people? And then, of course, it comes to the lead and transact versus of just leading, lead and transact only.
So those metrics would piss off a lot of technical Facebook marketers, because technically they're not really scalable, right? Like, building a relationship is hard to measure, but yet it's so important creating a brand. Like, if you want to sell a one product and that's it and move on, then yes, other metrics are important. But what I love about this is, you're talking about metrics that it's hard to really quantify so much. What's the value of an engager? What's the value of someone commenting on your post?
Well, sometimes I break this down for clients and I'm like, come on, it's simple math and facts. They're like, what do you mean? I'm like, okay, let's just say we're going to run purchase conversion ads. And by the way, when you're running ads, these are all different learning modalities. People learn differently. So we're going to be running a purchase ad, for example. We may spend $50 a day and reach 4,000 people a day. We're only going to reach the people that are ready to become a lead or a buy right now. So let's just say it's $4 a website click. That is not unheard of to run a purchase conversion campaign and get $4 a click. Okay. So let's just say we're running to a cold market. It is $4 a click, and every 4 clicks becomes a sale. So it's like $16 to become a sale. I'm just making up these numbers, right? So I go to a client and I go, client, if we get 4 people to your site, 4, hopefully we can get a sale, 4. But it's $4 each, was going to cost $16. I can get someone to watch a box opening of your product and a review that's 6 minutes long for 10 cents. So we go after 8 people with the same budget that we could literally get thousands of people in front of your brand. We're not even talking about spending more money. So people are like, oh my goodness, how do I scale this? And I go, scale it. You can actually spend less money, get in front of more customers because you're quantifying them, and then push them through the conversion. And when I show clients, I'm like, look, if you're only going for sales, you may only reach with your budget 4,000 people a day. But if you incorporate video views, landing page views, these are how different people learn, these are how people read, they click. Now what happens is you start to see these lower costs come in, retarget it all together. So instead of just putting in a dollar and making 4, you may put in a dollar and make 2, but you have a lot more scale. You're reaching more people. And the last point on this, I like to help people make Facebook an advertising channel, not a profit machine. And here's what I mean by that. If you are only counting on Facebook for your livelihood, if your Facebook ad account gets shut down or the market changes, you are, how do I say this if it's a family show, screwed, right? There's lots of other ways to say it. But if I show you how to run this brand traffic and your brand gets shut off from Facebook, hypothetically, because you can run the strategy in lots of other platforms, literally, Jason, your phone would be ringing off the hook. Oh my goodness, you were on Facebook. I saw all this content. What happened? But if you're just running buy my shiny stuff, and you turn off your ads, no one ever knows. You just go away. So it's, if you look at the math and facts, you can actually track it down. Attribution makes it a little bit interesting. But when you start looking at the return overall for 30, 60, 90 days, my clients, my coaching, they're all, you've seen it, blown away by results. Most people are like, I think you said the same thing. I don't know if it's going to work. Start playing with it. They're like, oh my God. Oh my God. This really, really, really works.
Have you met someone that this doesn't work for, or does this method work for everyone?
Great question. So there's a couple of people, there's actually two people that I've met that it didn't work for. And the interesting thing is they had a product that was below $30. And I can kind of talk about the products from a high level view. One of them actually appeared on the Shark Tank. And what happened was, is they have this thing that's called Nerd Wax. The glasses slip off the face. Great product. Well, there's all these different angles that we can retarget. The problem is the price point's really low. What we really identified with is, well, if we take the Kickstarter video that they originally had, and that's the way that we meet people, we can actually have, because they have really good creative, because they have really good creative, they can tell the story, have people take action, understand the why, get behind the movement, and heck yes, I will buy an entire 4-pack of those to help bring that price up. So the price point was really too small to retarget anything in the middle. There is some stuff in the middle they're building relationship, but because their creative works so well, they clean up some sales middle of funnel, but again, it's building that relationship. And the only other thing was, is there was an individual that we were working with, they only had one product. They were coming out with other products, and that's the whole reason. If you think about the math and facts, again, if you're fortunate, if you're super fortunate, 10% of your market will buy your products. That means 90 to 95 to 99% of the traffic that you run, you have to have additional products and services. And I can't stress this enough. If they are not your additional products and services, you are disservicing your audience, if that's even a word. You're not serving your audience if you're not offering other solutions that can help you out that also offset the cost of that traffic. So there's a lot of numbers that people got to look at.
Which is what I tell clients all the time. There's only three ways, if you think about it, to grow a business. Like humanly possible, any way you can think of falls into one of these three ways. One is get more customers. B is increase your prices, or in e-commerce, average order value, which is what you just spoke about.
Yeah.
Or C, increase the buying frequency, the rate at which they keep coming back and buying.
Yeah.
Every single one of them comes into this. So if you don't have those measures in place, it doesn't matter what platform you're on. It's going to be a really hard, like maybe you can scale to 7 figures, but the ones that do 8, 9 figures, or the ones that really are dominating, have those numbers all nailed down and they understand that entire game.
Like for perfect example, Chanel. Chanel's not advertised on Facebook. Chanel's not given a 2010.
Not as Apple.
25, right? Not at all. The only way, and I used to work with Apple in a call center, the only way that you can get an Apple discount is if you are buying hundreds and hundreds of units and you are on education, not a business. They don't really care.
Oh, they don't care, right? About you, but yet we keep going back like sheep. It's amazing.
Right? Because of the experience and the way that honestly, like for me, is I'm not a huge Apple fan, but now I have a Mac. Now I put these new iPods in, or AirPods. I can't even say them right. They're silent, right? I put them in my ears. Because of the way that it makes me feel, I forget about the last three crappy customer service experiences that I have. It's the way I feel right now. That's what Steve Jobs did a great job on.
Billie Jean actually went deeper than that. He said, you have an iPhone, for example, right? And on the phone, you have apps like Facebook and everything. So your life is intertwined. Your addiction is intertwined in those apps. Those apps live on the phone. So now there's a double addiction there, right? You need your apps. You need your phone in order to get it, which is why they're able to do things like change the head jack and you keep going back to them. They're able to openly admit that they slow down the battery of old stuff in order so you to buy new stuff. And yet no one goes, I hate them, I'm boycotting them, and they keep going back. Why? Because they make it, their tentacles are so deep inside you, they have such a good grasp. By breaking up with them, you're breaking up with a lot of the apps that you use that are for them. And that's a very hard thing to do. You're so tied in, forget it's not worth it for you. So you have to put up to it.
it's my favorite thing in the world. We're like, these things, you know, you can buy wherever. Everyone's done this who owns an Apple product, right? You buy it, it's like $4, whatever. You plug it in, 4 weeks later, it says, hey, this product is not recognized. Could you imagine any other accessory that we would buy for anything else that all of a sudden we buy a third-party thing and it doesn't work? We would be yelling, screaming, and kicking, and literally it's like, oh, okay, we'll just go ahead and spend $40 on the iPhone charger, whatever.
Exactly. Or we'll spend more than that buying more of those third-party ones, only throwing them out every 2 weeks. We'll end with this. You talk a lot about the Facebook breakdown effect. What is it, and why is it important for us to know about it?
Yeah, it's really interesting. Every single time I talk to a prospective client on the phone, they always call. And when we're talking, I'm like, look, I bet you just don't have consistent ad performance. I bet you're able not to turn up the dial, don't know what you're going to get predictably on a regular basis, and your fluctuations kind of all over the board. And they're like, you just described my experience. And I'm like, well, of course I did. I talk about the belt method, right? We go into belief, engage, lead, and transact. Well, what happens though is there's this breakdown effect that what happens is, again, I'll say this over and over. We have this old thinking with new technology. It's a big thing that I talk about over and over and over. And what ends up happening is this. Everyone's seen this, who's going to be listening to this and watching this if you run Facebook ads. You're going to kick up a Facebook ad campaign, and you're going to be running it. Let's just say your goal lead cost is, let's just say it's $10, right? You want to get leads for $10. You start running ads, and you get leads for $6, $8 the next day, $9 the next day, 3 days. It's fine. And then it's 10 days with or $10 on the fourth day, which is totally cool. And then it's like $12 on day six, $15 on day seven, $20 on day 10. You're like, oh. And you shut off the campaign because you're like, wow, the markets, this is what we all think as marketers, if you think about it, it's just stupid. The markets change so much, they don't like my advertising anymore. Come on, dude, you got less than 50 leads. The whole market hasn't changed. What we have to take a look at is something called the Facebook breakdown effect. What many times is when that cost starts to go up, Facebook advertisers turn off their ads and they start to retool their marketing. And it's literally like having your computer unplugged, but you start taking your computer apart because you don't understand why it's not working. You're looking in the wrong area. So what happens with the breakdown effect is basically what's going to happen is you're going to target a brand new audience for leads, sales, whatever. And Facebook's going to go after the lowest hanging fruit first, the cream of the crop first. Okay. So when you see those $6 leads first come in day one, it's because Facebook knows pretty well if you have the pixel train and whatnot, but it knows for the most part, okay, I'm going to go after these people, even though the audience is, heard I'm targeting 5 million people. I mean, I only got 50 leads before my lead cost went up. Right. Facebook figured out based off the algorithm and your copy and blah, 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 that it's gone after the lowest hanging fruit. So you have two options. You either can live with the higher price, which you have to do when you scale and you make sure that your back end's a little bit better. Or what we suggest to students is at least every month, sit down, do some studying, and come up with what I like to say is six new audiences. Those are four audiences that are core audiences. Like if I want to advertise to Facebook marketers, I'm going to kind of figure out, okay, what associations are they in? What kind of education maybe will they be in? What other types of tools are they using? So core audiences, right? Core interests. And then I'm going to create two new lookalike audiences. Now keep in mind, lookalike audiences are always updated. But what I like to do is I like to take the last 250 of, let's just say, my last 250 leads from this month. I can create a brand new lookalike audience from there. What I'm doing is I never turn off ads until they stop performing. So I may have ads running in a top of funnel that's getting a $6, $7, $8 lead cost, and I may just leave that run at $100 a day. I'm always testing new audiences because I want to reset that floor. Most people are not introducing new audiences enough. They're seeing their cost go up, and again, they're looking at the wrong place. If you would frequently update your audiences and be testing new audiences, you would see that floor would be consistently dropped for your lower cost. It's all documented in Facebook. It's been out for about 2 years. Most people just don't know where to find this documentation.
So how much of that also, you know, what you just said, plus people don't ever bother refreshing their creative, right? They run the same creative for 7 months and then be like, oh man, Facebook just stopped working. You haven't come up with another creative in 6 months. Maybe it's time.
What's interesting is a good friend of mine, Michael Lovitch, talks about this. He had been in a supplement business where they're just spending around $40,000, $50,000 a day in ads. And for a lot of people, it's a cycle. So what will happen is you may be running these ads. And again, we're running lots of different content, lots of different ads. So it's just not one ad creative, right? But we're running lots of different content. But you start to see after a while that some of it starts to fade off, right? It just doesn't have the effect in the market the same. The market message may be a little bit different, whatever. Now, what most marketers do is they refresh all their creative and they throw all the old stuff out. what I'd encourage you to do is recycle your old stuff once a quarter. And what I mean by that is just because it doesn't work in February anymore, turn it off. But in June, you may just hit the button to turn it back on to see if it works a little bit. What they would typically find is many times they would just start over and over and over. And they didn't realize that, wait a minute, we have these winning creatives that literally we can still be testing over and over and over, but we literally have some surefire wins that we've turned off. Wait a couple of months, turn back on, maybe 6 months. So consider that. Keep kind of a database of what's worked. I mean, it's all in the back of your Facebook account. But I know every 3 months there are certain videos that I go through that didn't relate that now all of a sudden I have a whole brand new different audience that's come in. Let's go ahead and click that button, turn it back on again. So I'm always using old creatives in those ways. Just make sure you don't throw it all away.
There's so much gold here. You know, for people who want to learn more and want to see what this is all about, how do they reach you?
I'll make it really easy. I'll give a link. There's a sign in the back right down there. So I'll just do the belt.live/, you want to just do JPORT, J-P-O-R-T.
Sure.
And it'll show up on the screen, however you want to do it. I'll give you a link, but it's the belt.live/JPORT. Now, what I'll do is, basically what I'll do is this. We have 92,200, so we have a case study, how I got 92,233 leads in 21 days. It's a bunch of free training. It's inside of a group. So what'll happen is when you go to this link, it'll give you access to that case study. It'll give you access to the free group. There's free training in there. Again, you can take as much as you want in there. Inside of that group, you can also access a 7-day summit pass. Essentially, what I did is the whole economy started to change back in March. I interviewed about 65 or 66 of the world's top online marketers. And essentially what I did is I asked them lots of different questions of like, what are you doing now with the change in the economy? If you were brand new, what would you do differently? If you were intermediate, what would you do differently? We are talking about world-renowned email experts, conversion experts, copy experts. You'll get access to all of that stuff. And it's all just to build a relationship and consume content. So again, you'll see a link up on your screen, thebelt.live/JPORT. And you get access to all that stuff when you click it. And although they came from you.
Man, always fun to catch up and always fun to have you here. Thank you so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Keep me updated on how you're doing and everything else. I love seeing your propaganda in the middle of the funnel. And man, I can't wait to see more and more of it. This is really great. All right, take care. All right, bye.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for paying attention to that episode. Look, if you enjoyed it and you're looking to scale your business to the next level or just a bit stuck, we've worked with businesses and helped scale them past 7 figures. So we know a little bit what it takes to grow your business. So if you're looking for a free strategy call with myself or a team member to help you and help get you unstuck or help scale your business, head on over to jportnoy.com. and book a free strategy call. I'll see you then.